Previously, on the Catechin, a young, handsome, humble genius said the following.
And give me Lamont Butler.
Ooh, so he's going to play.
Degree difficulty.
You got inside information.
I have been catfishing him for a few
years. Heard it here first. Everyone noted Lamont Butler's playing. News. Jared said it. It's official. Not vouching for that, but he knows people, so.
The Catechin, June 18th, 1815. Napoleon Bonaparte, once the most feared man in Europe, marched into Waterloo full of confidence. He thought he could reclaim his former glory, but in one decisive battle, his ambitions were crushed, and he was sent into exile, never to rise again. And this weekend, Louisville basketball met their Waterloo. After a disastrous few years, they've convinced themselves that the Pat Kelsey era will lead them back to greatness. But Kentucky showed up, dismantled their hopes, and left them wondering if their empire has gone for good. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Kentucky beats Louisville 93-85. Fellas, how we feeling?
Good, man. They didn't quite win by double digits like I thought, but that's a rivalry game. I was wrong. That's a big deal. There's a lot of energy in that building and a lot of tension. Really, I'm incredibly fun to watch. I wish every game was like that with the lower bowl and rough. It'd be electric. The pops from the crowd were nuts, man. I had a really good time with that one. But doing good, man. Rivalry win. You can't complain. 10-1.
Yeah, same here. I'm happy with the W in this game. Always. It was a good game. Pretty entertaining. Not quite back and forth, but it felt like we never really pulled away. But also, at no point did I think, oh man, we're likely to lose this game. So pretty entertaining, always fun every year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the season as a whole, we're 10-1 in the top five, two top 10 wins, and we beat Louisville. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth and start picking this team apart. So yeah, I'll take it. I'll be happy about it. Are we playing perfect ball? No, but we're winning.
Outside of free throws, Lamont Butler showed up and played some perfect ball, though. What a performance by that guy. Legendary. Writing his name in the books. Yeah, I was wrong, man. I didn't think it was as big of a deal. It's that big of a deal. My bad, Joe. It's a big deal. 10 for 10, 6 for 6. I think he had 7 threes before tonight, is what I heard. From a very grumpy Jay Billis, it seemed like. But,
yeah.
I mean,
always.
Excellent performance. I mean, just everyone seemed to battle. It seemed like it mattered, and that was what I was hoping for. Because sometimes it's hard to, those letters probably helped. All the build-up probably helped because it's hard to kind of tune in for one year, it seems like sometimes. But they were bought in. There was some hate on that floor.
Almost had a fight.
I said I almost had a fight.
Randy Garrison tore the bench. That was fun. I missed that. I missed both teams caring and Louisville not just resigning to their loss.
Right.
I like it away from them. I want them to have the hope, and then we take it from them rather than them giving it to us.
Man, it seems like the rivalry would be back and popping, though. If they don't have those – I mean, obviously any one thing is going to change the game, but them it is kind of a bummer. They didn't have their guys, and we didn't have Kerr. It'd be real fun to see those two teams go at it, with everybody. I still think the outcome's similar. But they battled, man. They would not go away. Like Ben kind of said, it was close most of the game. It didn't ever feel like it was in danger, though. It always felt like kind of just enough. What did they get it to 4 in the second half, I think? Or is it closer than that?
Three or four,
yeah. I don't know. I never felt like it was in doubt. It got a little scrap, a little ticky-tack at times with the whistle. I feel like we missed a lot of free throws. And I don't know if there's a way to look at this. I should have tracked it. But it felt like some of those free throws were on front ends. I know BG for sure missed one towards the end. It was a front end. Because you look at the box score, man, it looks like we should have won this game by a lot more than 8. In my opinion, you shoot 60% basically. Let's see here. Yeah, 58% from the field, 52 from 3. We'll talk about free throws later. But that's 10 missed free throws. So there's a whole bunch of points that were left on the board, and even some on the back end of those 1-1. So it I don't know. It felt like it was not as close as it ended up being, but yet in a rivalry game, you get a little nervous when they start making those runs. So all in all, happy with the win.
It did feel like when we – go ahead, buddy. You're good.
One thing I was going to say to their credit, I thought PK did a great job using his timeouts. It seemed just about that 10-point margin. Every time we got there, or got there again, he would call a timeout. It'd be greatly timed. They'd make a little bit of a run. We'd pull away. He'd call another timeout. And it's smart usage of timeouts is great and really interesting to see. sometimes you're sort of screaming at the TV, you know, you especially first half, like, dude, or either really, you can't take him with you. Call him. And so I thought that he did really well with that, and that sort of kept us from carrying that same momentum every time we had a little bit of a run.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It felt like him doing that prevented us from hitting, and we've talked about it before, sort of that the dagger, the sort of the back-breaking play where it's like, okay, this is a wrap now. So we kept it just on the cusp of that for most of the game until finally putting it away and leaving no doubt at the end.
Yeah, I still have the KenPom page up from before the game, and I see Lamont was 7 of 21, 33% coming into the game. Now for the season, he's 13 of 27, almost 50%. So in one
Real
game,
shooter.
he it's not just that he hit everything he shot. He also really increased his volume, which and I don't know if their scouting report was to leave him open or what, but it's not like he was taking contested shots. He just kept finding himself top of the key with the ball wide open, and he didn't like hesitate before he shot it, but he was almost surprised that he was that open.
It makes me
Sleeper, better
think
watch
that,
out.
you know, for real though, for real though, it makes me think that his ankle was probably before the Gonzaga game, where I thought it was before this game, you know, like maybe if he was probably almost ready to go for Gonzaga. I mean, you don't like game time decision a 33-point game. That doesn't happen all that often. So I'd imagine he's known he was going to play a little bit, maybe some gamesmanship there. Surprise, like a little. What do you think of the minutes distribution? Because I feel like it was a little more tightened up rotations. What we had six guys of the or yeah, like seven guys of the bulk of the minutes. It was a usually we go by 8 or 9, but who didn't get in tonight? It would have been Chandler and I guess
Noah.
Perry
Chandler and
for
Noah.
or not
Chandler and
Perry,
Noah didn't get
Noah.
in.
Yeah.
Kerr obviously out. I was curious about why Amari only got 16 minutes. That seemed low. I mean, maybe BG was playing better, but it certainly didn't seem like he was playing that much better. And Amari had a rebound every 30 seconds he was in the game. So it doesn't seem like it was performance. I don't know.
That is super
Even
interesting. I don't know
Almanor
much.
only getting in for 8 minutes seems pretty low. So it seems that we definitely tightened up the rotation. I mean, the proof's in the pudding there for showing that Pope really wanted this one, right? If he tightened up the
Yeah,
rotation like
just
that,
needed
like
this
a little
one for
preview of
just.
March.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, he gets it, man. And I'm not going to say the thing, but he knows how important it is to you guys. I didn't realize it's as important as it clearly is. My bad again.
One
That's.
thing, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
Well, one thing that was sort of crazy was it isn't just that Perry got 7 minutes. He was in there early. He was in there first half, game very much still wide open, and Pope put him in. I don't know if Butler needed a break, and for some reason we couldn't just slide Robinson down at the point. Maybe that was it, because I know Ortega had 2 fouls he picked up pretty early. But at least I was pretty shocked to see Perry come in when he did for the first time. And he played pretty well. You won't see it on his stat line. Defense still has some issues, but a lot of effort. I know he had at least one ball. He jump ball knocked back out to one of our shooters. Did get blown by a couple times, but he's a freshman, and I think we're sort of brainwashed to expect something different from our freshmen from 15 years of Cal era basketball.
That's true.
But nice to see a Kentucky boy get some real minutes in a game that you know is important to him.
It is
Absolutely.
weird because it's one of those things that we're getting what we asked for with Travis Perry, because we would see these other teams where it's like, hey, they have freshmen come in and they learn the system and you see them get better and stuff like that, and then they get frustrated that Travis Perry isn't clicking immediately. Well, it's just like, well, this is what a 4-year college basketball player looks like. So yeah, it's a
True.
process for him. He doesn't
Pretty
look
sick
bad. He's
too that
just
he's.
not setting the world on fire out the gates.
Well, that's the thing. He still. It wasn't he. Ben, I remember us talking about it a long time ago. He and Noah, aren't they both like pretty highly rated recruits comparatively? Like, not Kentucky wise. Like, you can't
Yeah,
take that to the NBA
I
without.
I think Noah's maybe just outside top 100. Perry's maybe top 80 kid.
So guys, I would kill to get over here. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So even
Perry,
yeah,
if he didn't go to Kentucky, he was probably going to Purdue, and Noah was going to go to South Carolina.
Right so on. These are, okay.
These are, you know, legit
big time
guys.
Players. They're not just feel good stories you got at the end of the bench. I get you.
Right, right. And it's funny that we do make it seem like that sometimes.
Well, that is kind of the impression. Like I got, it makes sense though that
right.
they're not, because I remember we talked about Chandler's recruiting rating and how Noah and Perry weren't that far off of where he was, and that was what kind of set it off for me, because I know how where Chandler was like the biggest recruit in like the last 10 years out of Utah. It was a big deal that just these random two Kentucky kids are rated higher or as high.
Yeah,
but, no,
I think Noah, or I think Chandler was like fringe top 40 maybe. Of course, two years ago, but Noah, it looks like, was between 120 and 140, depending on the serves you used, and Perry was around number 80. Looks like most of them had a mid 70s or 80s.
One thing I will say is it's heartbreaking that Kirk Risa wasn't able to play in Kentucky Louisville,
and prior. I think a lot of people, personality-wise, had sort of circled Kirk Risa and Keyshawn Pryor. And
heartbreaking. Shout out to our Estonian listeners. We're able to see that on our page.
For real, let's go. That's like United States, Estonia, then Canada on our listener ratings. So, shouts to that.
Love it.
Gotta
shout
be
out
that
to Kerr's family.
Absolutely.
Love to see it.
Or, yeah, somebody.
Ask her to come on for us. Yeah,
man,
yeah,
that'd be perfect. Let's do it. Let's try to make that happen. That man, now I'm bummed because he's not he's out of eligibility, right? This is last year.
I think so. There may be some argument to be made. I know over the summer people were sort of looking at some of the waivers that the NCAA was granting people who were ruled out for receiving impermissible benefits or something. And Kerr set out a lot of time twice for something along those lines. So there's a potential he could apply for a waiver and have that granted for another year. But I also think Pilgrim or somebody asked him, and he just brushed it off. So maybe depending on how the season goes, he considers seeking that. I don't know what his future would hold otherwise, but certainly it would be. I mean, it's not like we have a ton of room in the backcourt anyway, with Caden and Jasper coming in, presumably Perry and Chandler and Owe back. But man, it would be fun to have him again.
Just seeing his emotion in that in the last game, man. Now that kind of bummed me out, bro. You're right. That would have,
right.
You know, no. I love me some Kirk Risa. You know that it would have been. He'd have been electric. Just any, it could have been anything. Just taking a charge, you and he'd have been off the chain.
Could you imagine Kerr playing at Louisville during a Kentucky Louisville game? That would give me life.
I'd watch it a lot on repeat, I'm sure. Yeah, that sounds. Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to bring the vibe down. We just be
no,
Louisville.
No. It would have been amazing. One thing I was gonna say is I think out of you know we talk you hear what was it Duke kept saying 9 out of 10 times they beat us if we play again. Well, they didn't. But in this type of game, one thing I felt like is Louisville had to go off the bounce quite a bit to get their points. They only had 8 assists on 31 made buckets compared to our 23 on 32, which is way more you can replicate that way easier than you can. Off the dribble shots over and over and over again. I thought that was one thing because Louisville is one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the country. They were due a little bit, still didn't shoot it great, but more than they had previously. But they took a lot of tough twos as well, and I think that that's one thing that kept them in the game that normally wouldn't have. Because this felt like we played, you know, well enough to win by 20. It really did at times feel that way. So I was just trying to get them, you know, out rebounding them by 10. We missed 10 free throws. Busted them on fast break points, all that stuff, and it only ends up being a 9-point game. It just looks a little funky, but I think that's mostly where that comes from.
Louisville for the season, including this game, is ranked 329th in 3-point percentage at 28%. So it was significantly worse before then, and what'd they shoot? 38% full?
36.
10%, 10% better almost than their average. That takes away like 12 points. And like the shots that they were hitting were funny. They missed, especially Waterman missed a bunch of just wide open, straight off the backboard, didn't hit the rim threes. And then they had several moments where the shot clock was running down or the ball just landed in the right way and they took a terrible contested three and it went in every time. So there's a ton of variance in basketball anyway.
Sure.
But it's just funny seeing those probably come out in the wash a little bit, but
yeah,
it's just funny seeing which ones they made, which ones they missed.
Waterman has some good looks in this. Go ahead. My bad.
Is Louisville's playing this like real tough. Like they were bodying us. They were turning into an actual fight. There was times where we would turn the ball over and they'd be in transition and I'm looking at Chucky literally just like yank on Jackson's arm to prevent Jackson from getting back on defense and just things like that. And you could see it kind of wear on us during the game where it's like, okay, well, we stepped up to it. So much so at the end you have Jackson throwing a guy to the ground. Love to see it. I love to see it. Loved every second of it, Jax.
Yeah, it was great. Shouts to Jax for sure.
That was a good foul call. I agree with Pat Adams there. Yep. That one happened and it was on Jackson.
Worth it.
100%. Get your money's worth, big dog. Hepburn for them was really solid, but I thought Waterman, like you said, he missed a lot of good looks. It's a damn haircut, man. I don't know how he
did. I mean, Waterman was hustling. He had one lazy pass that turned into a breakaway for OA, but Waterman chased him all the way down and tried to make an attempt on it. You know, I mean, he was working 12 boards for him.
Six O boards
just,
for him as well.
Just wasn't shooting great.
I feel like he was their most impactful player outside of, like, obviously Hepburn. But I felt like Waterman definitely was in there battling for sure. I mean, he's a hustler. He can shoot it at times. But, yeah, 12 boards out of their 31, 6 of their 10 O boards. Like, that definitely kept them in the game. Like, I don't know what they were on second chance points. But I'd imagine they had, you know, 8 to 10 somewhere in there.
Yeah, both teams had 8.
Okay, there you go. So any one of those things, the free throw, the second chance points, this turns into a double-digit 15 to 20-point going-away win like it probably should have been. But rivalry game, there's some variance. But all in all, I felt like they offensively played really well. Yeah, Kentucky did. And defensively, obviously, the teams are going to make shots. But I felt like, I mean, Butler played outstanding. But still, you know, everyone seemed to play pretty good. I thought Brea forced a few threes. But he's the best three-point shooter in the country. He can force a few. I'm okay with it.
Right. Well, and to the extent anyone thinks that Kentucky's only in this because Lamont Butler went nuclear from three, it's like, okay, yeah, well, Brea, who's usually a, what, 55% three-point shooter, went 2 for 7. So give him a couple more, and you've probably averaged out the Butler hitting shots he doesn't usually hit. So it's I find those excuses bad anyway. But.
Yeah, yeah. If you leave Lamont, like, wide open, like, he's going to take it. If he's being like closely contested, that doesn't mean that if you take those 6 threes, you just zero that out. Like that possession probably ends
right,
with somebody
right.
else taking a shot. But yeah, I'll take it. Boys, we got any other thoughts on the game before we start looking forward here? Because we have a week till Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I'm. Go ahead, Ben.
I've got two final thoughts. First is that I actually think the MVP for this game was Darius Miller, who was the former player who wrote Lamont Butler's handwritten note that they did for the Kentucky Legends thing. I thought that was really cool. And I hope that's something we keep doing. I thought that was an interesting way to give these guys some perspective as to what it means, especially when you have so many transfer guys who've played in big games before, and to say, hey, at least for us as fans, this one's a little bit different. And the other thing is just that we exceeded, I mean, we're the highest scoring team in the country coming into this game, and we exceeded that. A lot of our high scoring games have come against the, let's see, who were the big ones? Jackson State, Bucknell and Wright State. We're all more than 100, Georgia State. This is a big Power Four team. I have respect for PK, and I thought Louisville generally played pretty well, and we still exceeded our season average. So that's pretty neat too.
Last thing I had was I really liked, it was kind of risky there at the, I don't remember what the time was, but there's a couple minutes left and Ortega misses only three with like 20 seconds left on the shot clock, and that's a no. Oh, thank God, type of shot. But he seemed like he really wanted to close that one out. I just felt like he stepped it up a notch in the last few minutes and really gave that no shot. I think he had one of the big dunks there towards the end too. I thought he played pretty well down the stretch, so just wanted to give him a shot as well. And Andrew Carr, please shoot a three. Like, I promise I won't be mad. Like a couple of them, maybe three. Who knows? Mess around, hit four. Do something. Because we only, like you had mentioned this last time, Ben, that Louisville kind of shoots the amount of threes that we strive to want to shoot. They shot like 40 or 39. We shot 21. Would love to get Carr just a couple looks. Because my boy can drain him. I mean, he had two big ones to start off his Duke, so.
He had several times I thought he was open and could have taken them. Once he sort of shot faked and then drove it, which okay, that's fine, I guess. But you can hit them, shoot them if you're open. And I'm
I
sure Pope would tell
will.
him the same thing.
I
That's
know he would tell him the
deadly
same thing.
when you have a guy that size that has gravity and defenses have to react to out on the perimeter.
I did see some negativity, and I'm not saying that there's no warranted negativity, when watching your team. You're allowed to be frustrated. You can feel whatever you want to feel, just as long as you're not, wrong. There's some frustration with Garrison when he'd get the ball down low that he wouldn't like kick the ball back out for a three and things like that. Now, one, we don't know what the game plan is there because Louisville kept going small a lot, so you would think like, hey, let's beat him inside. And two, he's a young player. He's learning that can get corrected over the course of the year. It didn't seem like this was a super tight game the whole way around. There's no point that I thought that we were going to lose. So let's turn the temperature down a little bit. Like it's going to be okay. We got some guys who are learning and growing with the team. Nobody's playing perfect basketball in December.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
I was gonna point out that I think Braden already said that we ended up with a ton of assists, 20, 23 assists on 32 shots, which is great. But also, they were super well distributed. Butler had six, Oway had three, Jackson had two, Carr had four, Amari had four, and VG had four. They're coming from all over. You can't help off of anyone. If you leave somebody open, we'll find them, usually.
Absolutely. I think, did you have something, Jared? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead. You're good.
No, I was just gonna say, man, like more so than just the negativity, like just enjoy the team, man. It's 10-1, top five. Like this is crazy. Like not a lot of people thought this would happen this fast. They thought, oh, this is, it's Pope's first year, whatever. Bro, they're going for nine. Like I've been saying since like May. Like they're legitimately, that's their only aspiration is to win the next banner, and just try to enjoy the ride, man. 10-1 doesn't, with two top five, a win over Duke. I mean, what did Cal have, one of those last 15 years? A Gonzaga win without Lamont Butler. I mean, it goes by fast. Just try to enjoy it. This is gonna be a fun season. It's already been a really fun season, but it goes by quick, man. And we're a third of the way through. Try not to but you'll miss it as soon as it's gone. It's gonna be a crazy end to the conference by the startup. Oh, I'd say just try to enjoy it, man. It's the most fun time of the year.
We're in the good old days right now.
That's I didn't want to use it, but yeah, there you go.
I think we're a third of the way into the season.
Yeah.
That is a bummer.
See what I mean?
Yeah. I hate admitting this. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just a big old dumb idiot. But I think the Pat Kelsey stuff at Louisville, I think, is gonna work out. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
that guy's a rock solid head coach. And they run good stuff. The
They
talent's
play
not all
hard for
there.
him too.
Yeah, so he knows what he's doing.
I
don't.
really
I don't
liked him at
even hate.
Charleston. Go ahead.
I don't even hate admitting it. I think that college basketball is more fun when the rivalry is competitive. I mean, I want to win that game every year, but I want to blow them out every year. But I don't want them to be bad necessarily either. I know some fans do, but I
No,
think when
I get
one
you.
team is bad, it diminishes the rivalry in a way that's not fun. I want this to be the best game every year. I mean, and I feel that way about other rivalries. Like, I don't care about the Crosstown Shootout when either UC or Xavier are bad and I expect a blowout. I think good games are what makes it fun.
That's a good point, actually. I was going to argue with you, but you're right. It is more fun. Personally, would I love to just blow the doors off a rival every time? Yeah, but eventually that would get old. If they were only
I do. I want to beat the hell out of them. I don't want our game to be competitive, but I want them to be good enough that going into it, you think it's going to be competitive. Otherwise, there's no reason to get up and excited about it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a pitfall, kind of like this one could have been. I think on, like you say, though, Jared, they're on the way back up, and it's pretty evident, and it's going to happen pretty quickly. Yeah. BK's a good coach, man. Diminutive fella, but, you know, good guy. Good coach.
And can't get much worse. It's not like there was a whole lot of room below where they were.
Oh, he's like 5 wins off the Kenny Payne on the all-time list over there, bro, already.
Did you see after the game when Kelsey went up to Pope and he was going like this and saying uppies, uppies? Did you guys see that?
Yep.
Pope just, I'd say he tousled his hair, but, you know.
Oh, whatever. My God. Messed his glasses up a little bit, tousled his hair. Yeah. Attaboy.
Better luck next year, champ.
He didn't put him in a locker, per se, but could have. Dude,
he fit into a locker very easily.
Probably why I didn't do it. Be too comfortable. No, they represented well. They didn't get embarrassed by any means. They showed out. They played hard, but, you know, it's not enough.
It felt like the game meant something to both teams, and that's something that hasn't been there in previous years.
Yeah, no, for sure. So last year, Kentucky was what 10-2 or 9-2, but 10-2, but one of the losses was to UNC who? Wilmington. Okay.
Remember that. All right. Times, yeah.
I think that's Cal's alma mater. I don't know if that's why we played them.
What's funny is that I say these things about having 2 top 10 wins and being 10-1. Well, last year you did have 2 top 10 wins at 10-2, technically, North Carolina. No, because you lost to Kansas. Never mind. They still won, though. And did Miami win? Was Miami top 10 last year? That's crazy. Okay, never mind. It happens all the time. You guys are just spoiled.
I think the narrative on last year is a little skewed because of how we lost in the tournament. I felt last year like it was our best shot in a while. Our offense was electric a lot. I think John Welch did a lot to change how we played. Obviously Reed and Rob were fun. We all complained about them not starting, but that ignores a whole lot. To say that last year sucked ignores a whole lot of bright spots. These first game, I thought, book it, title. If he plays like this, title. I mean, and not as a hopeful thing, but like we looked that good to me at that point in time. Yeah. And so I think a lot of the reflection on last year isn't quite accurate.
It probably gets the shadow of the years previous and the Cal.
Exactly. And then complacency. Also, there's just no way to be happy looking back at that Oakland loss. Look what it led to.
Yeah.
Another point, last point, that we have not had a guy lead us in points for 2 games in a row. It's been somebody different every single game. Obviously, you've had guys do it 2 games over the course of the season, but it's been a different guy in every single, like, there's not been one consecutive. It was O.A. Brea Carr, Robinson Brea Carr, Robinson O.A. Carr, Brea Baller.
Do we put the bucket getter label on Lamont Butler now, too?
You know, he's probably not a bucket getter or a clutch, despite the evidence, so probably not. No, he for sure is, dude. That was legendary, bro. I mean, if it's as big of a deal as it seems like it is, that one's an all-timer, like individual performance in that series. That's crazy. 10 of 10, 6 of 6, make your damn foul shots, Lamont. Come on, bro.
And this was his career high. This was an all-timer. I mean, this for him is – and some of that is he played at a offensively deficient San Diego State team. That a ton of people were giving him props all game long. When he was 3 for 3, I thought, does he stop shooting so that he can keep that perfect 3-point percentage? No. And then I thought that every single shot after that, and he just didn't miss.
That's crazy work. What a game.
It's one of my favorite things about this rivalry is that there's always one player usually on Kentucky because we usually win, that you don't expect to go off, and then they get that whole like card killer, you know, thing put on them, and now we get to bestow that upon Lamont Butler. Feels good, man. Feels good.
Absolutely.
You know, I called it. You know, who cares? I don't care about credit, you know.
No, you definitely did. I didn't even think he was going to play, bro. But, you know, I could make the argument that we were both right because Mark Pope played that thing close to the vest. I did say Mark Pope would be the MVP. He did, you know, have us all convinced he was not playing Butler, and then he did. No, I'm just kidding. You totally called it, and you were the only one that called it, I think, so.
I did clip the Otega Owe dunk, if you guys want to see it.
Yeah.
We didn't get exposed the way we did today. And I will embrace this butt kicking. I've had my butt kicked before, and I'll probably have my butt kicked again.
That was a great dunk. It's really, it was a narrated video, but I liked it. You know,
yeah,
the audio description of the dunk. That's great. Did you happen to have any of the threes queued up of Butler's or just any
yes,
of
the highlights? Yes, I have the sixth Lamont Butler three actually ready
right, to go. Cute, right. That's my favorite one. So cute.
We didn't get exposed the way we did today, and I will embrace this butt kicking. I've had my butt kicked before, and I'll probably have my butt kicked again.
Huh. Just the way he shoots it is just out of control. That clip cracks me up.
The Brandon Garrison fight.
We didn't get exposed the way we did today.
Okay, that's enough.
I'll say, too, about the fight. The Louisville fans were, like, irate about it. But they shoved – their player, Hadley, shoved Garrison in the back into their bench. Where was he supposed to go? What was he supposed to do? The fact that nothing else got called on that, I don't know.
You see how fast Pope made it over there from the bench? Dog, he was like – he could be in the NBA with that type of speed again, bro. He was so fast from the coach's box to break that up.
He's probably worried Leanne's going to get in there if he doesn't.
Dog, if you could have had a mic'd up Leanne for that game, it would have been all-timer for us, bro. She'd have let it rip.
If anyone out there is listening who can make that happen, I will accept a mic'd up Leanne any game, ever. Blue-white game, whatever.
I'll beg. You know, like, what do you need? Like, I'll do it. Whatever. I want it. I need it.
We didn't get exposed the way we did today. And I will.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, but it shouts to PK, man.
it's funny, but I think he's likable. I think he's interesting. I think he'll be good for them and good for the rivalry.
Man, are you trying to tell me all these? No, he's a good coach, man. It's just. No, he's gonna be a good coach.
Suspicious of this one.
Yeah, just, you know, like alliances, allegiances. Just, you know, I haven't been around that long, and I don't really like Pat Kelsey or Louisville, and I like him less now that he's at Louisville. So I don't know what that tells you. I really wanted him hired at Utah State at one point, but no, way too big time. Well,
I'll say it. I don't like Louisville. There, I admitted it.
Said it.
I don't care for him. I'm a Kentucky fan.
I don't care for Louisville.
Damn, that probably hurt. YouTuber. No, I hate him. I hate everything about him. Hate their haircuts. Hate their coach's glasses. Hate it all. I'm fully bought in now. Not if I wasn't before, I am now. No, I think that ride would be crazy intense if they weren't coming off of like two of the worst seasons in like not just school history but basketball history. Y'all watch some of the Louisville games besides the Kentucky one? They lost to Lenoir Rain, dude. Like bad. Like they got their.
Oh, yeah.
I think Pat Kelsey would describe it. He said, got our butt kicked. Something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen the clip.
We didn't get exposed the way.
I think one of the reasons that we think this rivalry is so big is that I don't know anybody from Kentucky who hasn't, I mean, they may not be big fans, but I don't know anyone who doesn't have a side that they're on. Like here in North Carolina, I meet people who just don't care about the Duke UNC rivalry. They're not into college sports, whatever. But that's because we have pro sports here. Not having any pro sports teams in Kentucky, I think people just naturally gravitate to one or the other, no matter how many games they watch, how closely they follow the seasons. Everyone at least has a position here. And so I think that's part of why it's such a big big deal.
Yeah. Do you? Okay. So being on the side of Little Brother in my other fandoms, it is a little weird, like how much like Kentucky's big brothered Louisville over the years, like keeping them out of conferences and stuff. So I feel a little guilty on that, but I've had my fair share of getting left out of stuff. But I had no idea until the broadcast they'd only played like since '83 or since whatever. What would they call that game?
Yeah,
tournament.
The dream game.
Yeah. That's the craziest part is it like, you know, Kentucky's been playing basketball for over 100 years, I'd imagine, and you've only played Louisville 50 times. Like, I'm glad the series is going now, but that's crazy to me that they wouldn't even play up until, you know, the 80s. That was pretty wild. I mean, same with football. They've only played a handful of times in the modern era. It's just, do you know why that was, Ben? Just out of curiosity, why they didn't play very much? It's crazy.
I have no idea.
Because F them.
Yeah, but
That's why.
All right, fair enough. I'll allow it. Whatever.
You mean they'll get some media money for this? Absolutely not.
Yeah, man, it's like generational hatred right there. That's pettiness.
Well, I think for a while there was, what does Kentucky have to gain from starting a series with Louisville?
Yeah, same thing. Like they have the other playing teams, Wright State, Bucknell, Western, Georgia State, stuff like that. But who am I to say? I get it in football. If you don't want to have one of your out of conference games, it'd be a tough one when you're in the SEC. But basketball, you play 40 games almost, or 30 something games. You know, I feel like you should play every year.
All right, fellas, any final thoughts before we head out of here and wrap this thing up?
No, I mean, L's down, 10-1, good game, no injuries, Butler's back. I mean, not much that could have gone better, really. Maybe some foul shooting, but we'll take it.
Do you think that his hurt calf may have helped with his shooting form, and that's why he's shooting better? There's the tinfoil take right there.
You know, it was it his flu game? Some are saying. I don't know. I mean, ankle game? I don't know. We got to come up with something, though. Like ace guard game? I don't know. Something like that. We'll figure it out. But maybe. Probably not, but maybe. And you were right about last week's, and I thought there's no way in hell he's playing, and he did. And
did I say injured calf? Because I meant ankle. I might be dumb.
Either way, whatever it was, it could have helped the form. I get where you're coming from.
I don't know. Nobody saw this coming. Maybe. And if they did, they must be very smart and handsome.
Like super smart and like host the podcast and I don't know. Anyways, what go ahead.
Ball knower is the only person who could have predicted this.
He does know ball knower.
Ball knowers unite. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining the Catechin. For Ben, for Braden, for Jared. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.